Good morning. So from my perspective, everybody on this side is sitting up front and everybody on this side is sitting towards the back. So I guess that evens it out a little bit. Today we have several events converging, a lot of intersectionality, if you will. In the liturgical calendar, this is what we call Rogation Sunday. And Rogation comes from the Latin word rogari, which means to ask. And in the Middle Ages, or up through the Middle Ages, they used to go out into the fields and bless the fields at planting time, because they understood that their lives depended on the harvest, on the crop not to fail. And today we think everything comes from grocery stores, but in truth that was the honoring and the connection with the earth. So I think it's apropos that on Mother's Day we're also celebrating and blessing and thanking Mother Earth. And also this week was the feast of St. Julian of Norwich, who we have our retreat cottages named after her. And Julian of Norwich was a 14th century mystic. And she lived in England. She was an anchorite, which means that she lived in a little room attached to the chancel of the church. And the priest would give her communion through a little slit. And so that was her life. She lived a life of prayer. And Julian of Norwich lost her husband and her children in the Black Plague. And so afterwards she gave her life to God and served. But one of the revelations that Julian of Norwich had, she refers to Jesus continually as our mother. Jesus, our mother, the one who nurtures us and fosters us and leads us and comforts us. So she refers to him as our mother. And so we celebrate this time of motherhood, and even in the gospel, and you know, sometimes the gospel of John sounds like a conundrum, the in me and you and I and him, and it just seems to be very circular in the language. But if we look a little closer, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And if you love me is really a language that comes from the book of Proverbs, which is a wisdom book in the Hebrew tradition. And the wisdom books were the word Sophia, or Chokmah in Hebrew, is about the feminine. And so what Jesus is proclaiming here, he's not saying you need to keep a set of rules that you adhere to by keeping my commandments. He is ushering in a new world. And by that, if you'll remember at the Last Supper, what is it that Jesus does that shocks the disciples? He kneels down and he washes their feet. And Peter refuses in the beginning, if you remember. Because you see, Peter, the rock, is the one who's going to represent the institutional church with all of its hierarchies. But Jesus is ushering in something else. He turns the hierarchies upside down and he says, yes, I am your master, and yes, I am your teacher, but watch what I do. And he kneels down and washes their feet. And he says, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. In that very act, Jesus is saying, today ends the old world order of dominion, of domination over others. This ends the old world order, and I am ushering in a new world order of the Spirit. And so he uses this language from Proverbs, that this wisdom of ushering in the feminine, this woman who is the wisdom of God, this mother, Jesus Christ, as Julian of Norwich would tell us, is the icon of a new order, an order of love, which will then flow through the disciples into the world. It is a new order of love. The old order of domination has come to an end. It seems that we haven't caught on yet. And the new order of love and wisdom is flowing in. So this following and keeping of Christ's commandments is following Christ's hospitality, if you will. Christ is showing us all through the Gospel of John what hospitality really is. And in the very first words of the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was in God. All things came into being through him. In other words, there he's already offering himself to the world. The first time we see Christ's hospitality is at the wedding of Cana. And granted, even then, he wasn't in the mood for hospitality. And sometimes I don't feel in the mood for hospitality. You know, this week something came across my plate that's not my job. Not in that context, but the moment required it. So I had to shift my attitude. And the same thing happens here with Jesus, with a little nudging from his mother to say, yes, you think it's not the right time, and I'm saying it is the right time. And he transforms water into wine. There's his first example of hospitality for us. The next is the cleansing of the temple, this may not seem very hospitable to us at first. And he chases out the money changers out of the temple. And he says, stop making my father's house a marketplace. This isn't Wall Street here. This is a place where everyone belongs. And what it teaches us is that hospitality also needs boundaries. sometimes we have to put our foot down and say, not here, not here in God's house. No. Take it somewhere else, but not here. Another time we see Jesus' hospitality with his interaction with Nicodemus. If you remember, Nicodemus comes to see him in the dark at night. He doesn't want anybody to know that he's coming to see Jesus. And so he comes to visit him at night. And Jesus feeds him spiritually. He doesn't give him a glass of water and, you know, scrambled eggs and toast. He gives him what he needs to live. A different kind of living. He gives him spiritual life. And perhaps one of the most well-known to us is Jesus' hospitality to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, who would be considered an immigrant in our day and undocumented. And he builds a bridge with her. He asks her for a drink of water, which absolutely shocks her because Jews would not speak to Samaritans. And he creates a relationship. He crosses the boundaries and he reveals his true identity to her. His own people don't recognize him, but she does, and he reveals his true identity to her. He builds bridges. He is inclusive. Another time we see Jesus offer his hospitality to the royal official whose son is dying. And it's interesting because the royal official's kind of, I don't know. His faith is very weak, but Jesus doesn't say, well, you know, you've got to get it together before I can do this. He meets him where he is, and he heals his son. And the man is strengthened in his faith. Another time, Jesus feeds the multitude. He also teaches a lesson to his disciples about abundance, but he feeds a multitude. He has compassion on them because he knows that they have nowhere to go and no place to find food because it's late. And so he feeds a multitude. Another time, he shows what compassion and forgiveness really looks at like when several men drag a woman and throw her at his feet, a woman who's committed adultery, that they are ready to stone because she has broken the law. And he bends down and he writes something in the dirt. We all want to know what he wrote. Is it the names of all the people in that group who had committed adultery themselves? But because they were men and had all the power, it didn't matter. He reveals the truth to him, and he forgives her and sends her away and humbles the ones who drag her before them. That is his hospitality. Jesus is also called the Good Shepherd, the one who speaks and his sheep know his voice and follow him. And again, another form of hospitality, which can be very difficult for some of us, is that to be on the receiving end of hospitality. Jesus, before his death, is anointed by Mary with an extravagant perfume that is often used to anoint people who have died. And she kneels down and she wipes his feet with her hair. And everyone in the room sneers at them. How dare he let a woman kneel down and touch his feet? And he receives the gift she offers him. He experiences that true love that is offered him. He could have sent her away, but he doesn't. Lastly, he sends us the Holy Spirit to be that in us, that new order of love, to guide us through this world, that you and I might be a reflection of the sun, pun intended, that we might be the light of the world in love. And even after his death and resurrection, he returns to serve the disciples breakfast on the beach and gives them another lesson about abundance. So when Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments," he isn't talking about a set of rules. He's talking about a way of life. If you love me, if you let me abide in you, and you abide in me, this is what your life will look like. This is what your hospitality will look like. And this is what we're called to. You know, our culture thinks that hospitality is all about serving dinner, giving a room. That's part of it. It's so much more than that. So much more. So what our world needs right now, the domination order has been declared finished, done. What you and I have to do is awaken to be that ocean wave of love that flows through this world. And the only way that you and I can do that is in connection with our relationship with Jesus, our mother. To abide in her or him, whatever. And let that love take root and flow through us, that we break the boundaries that need to be broken. We break down the walls that need to be broken. And we create community and relationship wherever we go. That's what it means to fulfill the commandments of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.